Hi there, my name is Ian Willoughby and you're very welcome to episode 41 of Prague Talk, one of a number of podcasts produced by Radio Prague International. Our guest this time out is a colleague of mine for many years at Czech Radio, Edita Kudláčová. She's just about to take on one of the most important jobs in her profession, head of radio and audio at the European Broadcasting Union, the Geneva-based body that brings together the continent's public service stations. Edita Kudláčová has hitherto been spearheading innovation at Czech Radio. And when we spoke, the conversation centered on the state of the medium today, the future of radio and podcasting, and her plans for the exciting new role. Enjoy our chat now in this edition of Prague Talk. Tell us about your own beginnings in radio.
That goes back, I think, 12 years by now. But I have to say that when I talk to my friends about why I actually joined radio 12 years ago, they are all laughing because since I think I was 12 or 13, I was listening to international radio stations. I would be listening to BBC, Six Music at that time, and FM Fear by ORF. And that was the way how I learned my English. And after university, because I studied literature, I did American studies and Dutch literature. I was thinking about, you know, like what would be the best job. And I thought just for myself, wow, joining radio, that could be fun. And that's how I started working for Czech Radio. And, you know, like since then, it has been a joyride.
And most recently, you have been the head of the creative hub at Czech Radio. What exactly is that?
So we started this team 5 years ago. It was launched as an innovation team, and it was set up to make the bridge between the international trends and Czech Radio and the stations of Czech Radio. So our main mission was to open up editors-in-chief, but also various people, you know, around the house to follow new trends, to maybe even like help with the English barrier, because sometimes we have to be honest, there is the barrier with language. And to try and implement some of the trends from abroad also in our country or in our radio.
And how successful do you feel you've been over those 5 years?
For me, because I think there are two sides. One is visible, and those are all the achievements we have had. You know, like we won the Prix Europa for the best digital online project together with Radio Journal and the whole news team. It wasn't just our project. It was, you know, like huge, huge project running across all the news and Czech radio. We have won, I think, two journalism awards. So for that, these are visible achievements. And it is nice to have that because you get the validation for your work. But what I value the most was that we were able to maybe even introduce people internally among each other and put some people to one table and open up the discussion where it was frozen. And for that, I'm very grateful because this is something you cannot see. But today, when I see certain people who wouldn't be talking or wouldn't even know about each other, and they just, you know, like go for a coffee and discuss things, I think this is the best thing that could have ever happened.
I'm sure you've seen many changes over your decade plus in radio, in the business. What have been the most significant in your view?
Well, definitely podcasts. And I'm not just saying because on-demand content was here, I think, for many years, but especially the promotion and the marketing with podcasts over the recent years. I think it's fascinating to see that because 5 years ago when we started, we were working on our first original podcast. Everybody was telling me this is the wrong way. Nobody will ever listen to podcasts. And today I think it's even like you can't walk on the street without meeting a person who would be listening to podcasts. So I think that's major, major step ahead. And at the same time, and I think this is for myself, it's my personal view. I love music. I listen to music a lot. And I like, you know, like listening to a lot of new music. And I always thought that Spotify would be here replacing the radio and the role of radio in music. But what I see on myself is that I still need human curation. I still need somebody to recommend me a good music. And maybe I'm old, maybe I'm traditional, but I still do like the traditional radio guys, you know, like who are focusing on music and who are telling me, if you like this, you might also like that. And I prefer it much more than algorithms on Spotify. And this is like for myself, this is a touch that, you know, like the radio will keep forever.
When you look around the world, which organizations do you think are doing radio in a really good or progressive way? The names that come to my mind are, of course, BBC in the UK and NPR in the States.
I think there are two sides to this question. One of them is who does podcasts very good, you know, like who's progressive in online and who does a good radio. If I look at the radio, I definitely agree that BBC is, you know, like ahead the curve for sure. It has always been, but they are also, it's fair to say, they are also struggling to open up, you know, to broader audience, to attract more and more younger people and children. I think this is a challenge that all the radio have. But I also enjoy watching or listening to some of the Nordic productions, Danish, Swedish radio. I think the Finnish radio is also in a very good shape, or Norwegians. But in podcasts, I agree with you. It's the NPR for sure. I think they are setting the trend. What is interesting recently to observe in Europe is Radio France, because I think they have achieved some amazing numbers with kids content for children and really bringing children back to audio, doing really nice podcasts for small kids, bedtime stories, you know, like even meditation podcasts, and doing a lot in these fields. And I think this is very progressive and very open-minded from the directors of the, you know, Radio France. So this I enjoy. And then I have to say, for me, it's very interesting to listen to and see what the CBC in Canada and ABC in Australia, their podcasting teams are producing. And I'm also in touch with, you know, people from ABC and CBC doing the podcast, because I'm fortunate to know them personally. So we email and we are in touch. And I think the way they think about introducing new authors, new voices, opening up the discussion about formats, playing around with it, I think they have done some really nice work in this area.
How much further do you think podcasting can go? I guess you could even call it not just podcasting, but on demand.
I think there will eventually be a peak, but so far what we are seeing, even for Spotify, the numbers are growing and growing. Spotify has done, I think, something that that the public service world is still not so good in, and they did an amazing marketing campaign. Also, like by acquiring names such as Michelle Obama or Kim Kardashian, I think mostly this was for marketing, to listen to audio for marketing purposes. And I've just seen yesterday or on Friday some numbers where they say that people listening to audio content, not necessarily music, but just audio content and podcasts through Spotify, has increased, I think, with 25% over the past 3 months, which is an incredible increase. I just wonder how far this can get. But if the commercials and, you know, like the players who are like Spotify, the online players, can still reach such numbers, I see there is a possibility for growth for public service as well. We'll just see how far it goes, but I think it comes back to us to even like start thinking about, are we really attracting all the groups in online that we can be attracting? Are we doing enough to, you know, like opening up the content? Because this is not a linear station. It can go from small children, you know, like through whatever news podcast for older people. And I think if we are creative enough, we can open up the scope of people listening to audio.
But is it still important for people working in radio to remember that for most listeners, innovations aren't that interesting? That what they really want is to hear the news or the traffic news on their commute?
You will always have the radio that works for these purposes. You'll always have a news radio station or, you know, current affairs, because there is no reason why I would like to listen to news a bit later, you know, like, or when I have time for it, because it changes so quickly. So for that, I think radio will still be itself. It will still be radio. But if, and I do believe in that, if you allow authors, creators, and young people be creative in the podcast world and make it their own, it is up to them to become a podcast producer, a podcast host. It means, and I think this is what radio lacks, it means that people have direct access to you. You can create your own community. You can go into real interaction with people through social media, and people start loving you as a person. They want to hear your choices. They want to hear what you buy, what you listen to, etc. And I'm not sure that they have this kind of attachment to a radio host. Because it sometimes sounds like the English world, and I'm sure you have heard it many times, they say that radio sometimes sounds like the voice of God, because the host has to be neutral towards everybody. Whereas in the online or in the podcast world, you can be yourself, you can have your charisma and your personality. And if people start loving you, I think the group of your audiences just grows bigger and bigger.
Well, I certainly listen to podcasts regularly. And if I like the host, I don't care who the guest is. And that's what I would hope with the podcast that I do, that also people would trust, okay, if he's got somebody, it's worth listening to.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm the same. I mean, I listen to radio if I want to hear something current here and now. But when I tune into podcasts and I listen to a lot of English spoken podcasts, I'm like you. I just like the person. I think it's a cool guy or cool woman. And I'd like to, you know, like be inspired by them. And that's why I listen to them.
Tell us about your new job at the European Broadcasting Union. Are you the first Czech person who has had such a high position in the EBU?
Yeah, I think there has only been some people who were doing like sound engineering positions or production positions. I'm the first Czech person who is having any kind of manager position within the EBU. And it's both exciting as well as a huge commitment, because I'm coming, I will be the head of the radio department. They are actually calling the position head of radio and audio. Up until now, it was head of radio. I think this already gives some hint of what the direction will become, you know, like that we will go more and more into the discussions about online world. I'm taking the job over from Graham Dixon, who used to be the editor-in-chief of BBC Radio 3, and then he was working for, I believe, 5 or 6 years as the head of the radio. And he has done an amazing job. I think that if he hadn't retired, I would have no plans, you know, like to be replacing him ever. But what he was focusing on was radio in cars. He was doing a lot for securing the radio future in cars, also on connected dashboards, meaning that even if you have internet in cars, radio is still present. It's not just Spotify, but it's radio. He was doing a lot to promote DAB, digital broadcasting for radios, because that was a standard that wasn't, you know, like applied in all of Europe. So he was doing a lot in this way. I'm taking the job over from Graham now in February. So we talk a lot about where to go next. The DAB, I think, has been settled. Lots of radios have their own campaigns. The radio player in cars is still a huge topic, so that will keep me busy for a long time, because you will need to talk to, you know, like the car producers and see how this can be implemented. But at the same time, what we would want to implement more and more is discussions about formats in online podcast production for public service, going more and more towards the digital world. And this, you know, like it backfires even with cars, because if you have internet in the cars, you will need good content for online connection so that you can still be relevant to people while they are driving. So this will be, I think, one of the major tasks that, you know, I'll start working on since March.
Well, tell us about the practicalities of starting a new job. I know the EBU is based in Geneva during this crazy and awful COVID time.
Yeah, I will stay in Prague, at least in March for sure, because there is no way for me to go and, you know, look for a flat in Geneva. I'm hoping that as of April, I can actually go there at least to see my team, because I'll have a team of people and I know them because I have worked in the past with them, but I definitely want to see them in person and catch up with them. But for sure, until June, there won't be any business trips, there won't be any conferences, everything will be done online. I think it will allow me more space to find, you know, some good rhythm for the job, but it will be more tricky because I won't have the personal contact with all the people around Europe. It should start opening up since September for, you know, conferences and all of that stuff. We should start traveling again since September. My idea at this moment, and I hope I can keep it, I'm living in Malá Strana in Prague, which is beautiful. I'm like in heaven here. And I'd like to keep this as my home base. And then, you know, travel around and make it work somehow, like connected with Geneva. So this is my plan for now.
I'd like to wish the very best of luck to Edita Kudláčová when she takes on her high-powered new role at the EBU. She's been my guest in episode 41 of Prague Talk. And if you've enjoyed this conversation, there are, of course, plenty more editions available. And it'd also be great if you could subscribe to Prague Talk wherever you get your podcasts. But for now, from me, Ian Willoughby, thank you very much indeed for listening, and talk to you again very soon.